Welcome to the Kumbaya Podcast, where Amanda and Rebecca, twin sisters, naturally minded home birth mamas, and co-founders of Progressive Pregnancy. We're on a mission to help you have a more empowered entrance into motherhood. We'll bring awareness and offer support surrounding pregnancy, childbirth, and the postpartum journey. As a holistic pelvic floor physical therapist, I'll bring valuable insights and guidance during this critical time for your pelvic floor. We'll also bring on other holistic providers, experts, and guests to help you make this huge life transition easier. To learn more, head over to progressivepregnancy.com, or to see show notes and past episodes, visit kumbayalpodcast.com. Are you nervous about the pain of childbirth? If so, you'll want to check out our free Birth Mindset Mastery Move training. You'll discover the one simple move that's the best way to prepare for the pain of labor. This is Amanda. I did this move throughout my second pregnancy, and it's what I teach to my private patients and what we teach moms in Progressive Pregnancy. It can help you build confidence, increase your pain tolerance, and prepare your body for a more positive birthing experience. To get access today, go to progressivepelviceducation.com/birth mindset mastery. Our guest today is Tracy Brown. Tracy is a certified adult chair transformational coach whose journey illustrates the power of self-discovery and self-acceptance. She began her career working with award-winning advertising agencies and representing Academy Award-winning directors. The 2 decades she spent in this field honed her skills in uncovering and creating stories that celebrate the human spirit and forge connections in the heart across diverse communities. But she knew that it wasn't fulfilling her soul's purpose of empowering women. In 2017, she embarked on a personal healing and spiritual awakening journey that led her to co-found a women's skincare line and immerse herself in holistic practices, such as becoming certified as a Reiki practitioner, cacao practitioner, and Akashic Records reader. These avenues guided Tracy toward her ultimate calling as an adult chair life coach. While becoming certified in the adult chair model, Tracy received her deepest healing. Now she seamlessly blends her diverse experience and personal healing path to support women in reclaiming their authentic selves. Her mission is to empower women to embrace their truth, dissolve limiting beliefs, and transcend generational trauma. Tracy's heart-centered approach offers a safe space for women to embark on a journey of self-discovery. Through introspection and guidance, women are empowered to heal old wounds so that they can reconnect to their authentic selves and enjoy a more aligned life and fulfilling relationships with less stress and true joy and happiness. Thank you so much for coming back for part 2, Tracy. We loved our first episode in this series, episode number 65, where you shared about the adult chair model to give us a framework for the conversation we're having today. And we're really excited to be back with you to talk about emotions, why they're important, and how to get in touch with them. So we'd love for you to start by laying a little foundation for our discussion. What do you mean by emotions, and why are they important?
Well, thank you for having me back, you guys. I love being with you both, and I think we have such great conversations. So thank you for having me. So our emotions, what I've learned is, while this is such a core central key to all of us, every single one of us, it's probably one of the hardest things for us to do as adults. And the reason it's so important is because this is the root of the root of the root. As I like to say, this is who we are. It is all about our emotions tell us what we need, gives us information on when to set boundaries. It lets us know when we're triggered. So this is the foundation for who we are our emotions. And this is where we start to understand what's going on. As we were talking about a moment ago, there's emotions and feelings, right? A lot of times people interchange them, but they're very actually different. You know, emotions are just that key basic feeling, fear, sadness, joy. Our feelings then allow us to say, I have fear because I'm afraid I'm going to fail. So that failure is the feeling, right? Mm-hmm. Or I'm joyful. I'm so joyful because I'm with two really amazing women. And I feel elated and I feel a deep connection. That deep connection, that's a feeling, mm-hmm. right? But it is the joy that is that deep, like real emotion. Mm-hmm. And so what I've found through my practice is that that is actually one of the hardest things for people to do. And we'll talk about it as we go in, but there's a million reasons why it's so difficult and why this world that we live in actually makes it that much harder or easier for us not to feel our feelings. But when we can feel our feelings or when we can feel our emotions, that is when we really get to harness our power, mm-hmm. right? When we don't feel our feelings, it allows everyone around us to trigger us, mm-hmm. and we give our power away at that point, right? Others are making, you know, others are causing us to feel certain things, and we're just walking around feeling all these things instead of being able to say, wait a minute, I'm going to think about what's going on, and then I get to make the choice how to respond. Mm. But that only occurs when we get in touch with our emotions.
Mm, that's great. Yeah, I love that distinction. We only can get in touch when we learn to feel our emotions, and that we have to have that pause almost. It's like before we make a conscious choice, we have to connect in first. And if we don't have that awareness, you know, awareness is the first step, kind of.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think, especially for women, I think there's something really important about that idea of giving our power away, mm-hmm. because that's something that has been so quietly woven into the patriarchal fabric of our world. I mean, women are always the ones that say, I'm sorry, right? Mm-hmm. We always say, I'm sorry. You don't hear that as much from a man. Mm-hmm. Oh, I'm sorry. Da-da-da. It just rolls off our tongue. Right. And sometimes maybe it's actually justified for what we're feeling, but we immediately go to the I'm sorry right. for what we're thinking or feeling. And we're giving our power away instead of being conscious and being able to be like, oh no, like I'm actually justified to feel this way. And this is actually how I feel. Now, what do I do with it? Yes. So we take back.
Yeah.
Take back the power.
I think also in our society, it's so fast paced. I think what I heard you say was that we have to come from a place of grounding. And that's what I heard you say with the emotions and tapping into that. It's like, okay, I feel grounded. I feel in my body. And with our society, everything is moving so fast. And I just think, do you find that a lot that women that you work with have a hard time slowing down? They have a hard time feeling grounded or being in their body for whatever reason?
Absolutely. That's such a great question. Yes. And it happens for a variety of reasons. It could be simple logistics. I work full time. I've got two kids. I have a new dog, like whatever that is, right? And that's just real stuff. But for a lot of us, we are actually subconsciously making ourselves busy so that we actually don't have to think about it. Mm. And that's one of the ways that we unconsciously, you know, don't allow ourselves to feel our feelings. But the fact of the matter is that we were born with emotions. We came out of the womb crying, right?
Yeah, like
we were born with emotions and we are literally wired for emotional connections. Our nervous systems are wired to tune in to each other. That's why sometimes when you're with people that may be a little bit like frenetic or having a little anxiety, you walk away and you're like, gosh, why am I feeling kind of all of a sudden I feel a little jumpy and a little, well, your nervous system's just tuned into there. So our bodies are literally wired mm-hmm. for connection. But again, like I said, it's in this space of knowing our emotions that we get to really know ourselves. Mm-hmm. We get to know our needs. And, you know, something else that's really interesting is that I think that our society has taught us to that there are good emotions and bad emotions, right? These things are okay to feel. Women, don't get angry, don't get mad, right? There is no such thing as a bad emotion. All emotions are good. You know, our souls come down to have this human experience to feel that range of emotions from fear to love and everything in between. Our souls came down to have this experience because it is in those experiences of emotions that we actually get to have growth, that our souls actually grow, right? So, you know, we're really born with this beautiful range. And the thing of it is if we don't know how to experience depth of emotion, we can't experience it in the positive or the negative. So if we don't learn to really feel grief when it comes to us for whatever reason, if we can't learn to sit in that, in the depth of that, we're not going to be able to have that same level of depth of joy. Emotion is emotion, right?
Yeah.
And so, you know, so that's really important.
Do you feel that people do that because they're uncomfortable? Say, my mind always goes back to being a parent, right? So when your child hurts themselves and they start crying, do you think it's the parent's inability or discomfort in feeling that feeling of seeing your child being hurt, and they don't want to have the child being hurt? And so they try to, do you know what I'm saying?
Or
you're saying, is it because they, like, it's uncomfortable for them to not be able to fix it or to make it better?
Right.
I feel like everyone wants to help everyone else. And so is it simply that it's an uncomfortable emotion? I won't say bad or negative. Or is it we weren't, as parents, when we were children, allowed to feel that emotion? And so then that's kind of feeding into that discomfort with our child having that emotion. Do you know what I'm asking?
Yes, yes, and yes.
Good. I don't know how to explain it. But
yeah. No, it's beautiful. And it's all of that. You know, I mean, the way that we feel emotions is we're generally taught. I mean, our emotions are always there, right? We're always expressing them. But we learn about whether emotions are safe to feel, are okay to feel. And that generally comes from our caretakers. So if they weren't taught that it's okay to feel emotions, then they didn't know how to do it. So then when it comes to us and we're little and we skin our knee and we come to them with our, you know, our tears and our fear, if they don't know how to feel them, chances are they're probably going to block us from feeling it too, because it's just not something they can process. Certainly it can come from a sense of helplessness. I don't know how to help them, right? I don't know what to do with that. Emotions can be uncomfortable, right? So there's that as well. It's just as simple as, you know, you can think about, like, let's say that I, you know, told my husband I was going to do the laundry and he needed something for work the next day, right? And I forgot. Oh my gosh, I feel so terrible, right? And there's two ways that I could handle it. I could be like, babe, I'm so sorry, I forgot. And there's a part of me that could be like, oh, I didn't remember you said that. Da-da-da-da-da. You know, that's a defense mechanism because I don't want to feel how bad it would be to feel like I forgot to do some laundry that he really needed, right?
Well, and that's interesting too. So it's also that, like, compounds the challenge of, you have this uncomfortable sensation in your body feeling bad that you forgot to help them with the laundry. But then also now you're hurting that connection with your partner because you're blaming them for it and saying, oh, well, you should have done your laundry anyways. I'm sorry. That's not my... So it's kind of like it only makes it worse.
Yes.
Like not being able to connect and process your feelings or your emotions.
Yes. And think about how much harder you have to work to cover them up instead of just allowing it to flow. Like ever had that experience, I mean, I remember one specific time where I really, like, gosh, I don't know, it was many years ago, but I stopped trying to be defensive and just really started to sit into the truth of my emotions or the truth of what was so. Mm. And I remember distinctly having this moment where it felt like freedom. Mm. It's like, oh, I just owned it. And the uncomfortableness was so dwarfed by that feeling of just like, release and freedom of just being able to sit in what is true and so, than trying to like be on a treadmill to try to like cover it up or not feel it. It's a lot of work.
Oh, well, I mean, and, you know, I'm glad you brought that up again, because that really resonated with me when you said that earlier, the fact that we stay busy so we don't have to think about or process or even acknowledge our emotions and feel what we're feeling. And that just is so true.
Yeah. And the thing of it is that the more that we can feel our feelings, and which, by the way, those emotions are happening all day long. Mm. All day long, there's little emotions. We register it and then we move right on, right? It's happening all day. And the thing of it is that when we can, like you said, slow down and see, we can understand ourselves better. And those emotions reveal fundamental truths about ourselves. And so when we can live in our most truest self, then we get to live our most authentic and healthy version, because we're not on that treadmill, because we are accepting the truth of who we are, and we allow our true selves to be seen and heard. And that's really what it comes down to. And that's what's so beautiful about the adult chair model is that it's giving us this framework on how to understand when we actually can say, okay, I'm here, I'm showing up, I'm going to feel them. That framework allows us a way to process. And we'll also talk a little bit about like how we just feel an emotion, right? Because it seems simple, but like I said, it's hard. But again, when we do that, we can feel our emotions. We're able to connect better into people.
Yes.
You know, when you are able to open up your heart a little bit more and have that, it allows you to have a deeper connection with other people. You can have more empathy for others, right? And I think you said something earlier that made me think of this, and I wanted to mention. Part of the reason why I look at all feelings as good, there are no negative, even fear, right? Fear, which is like you said, it's super uncomfortable. Well, fear is also that thing when we're walking down a street and it's dark and we all of a sudden get this vibe and it kind of scares us, right? Our intuition's kicking in that there's some reason why we shouldn't be where we're at. That fear goes in, and that fear is what causes us then, oh, I need to turn around. Oh, I need to put my flashlight on. I need to have my keys in my hand, whatever that is, right? Or, you know, if we're feeling frustrated because we're not liking what's going on at the office or something that isn't working for us, well, that frustration is actually going to be a great motivator for us to make a shift. So you can see how there's always the converse to any kind of emotion, right? Yeah,
that's those great points. I love what you said. I just am sitting in this. I have so many thoughts going in my head. So I'm sorry, I'm kind of quiet, but I hear what you're saying about connecting with our emotions helps us connect with our true selves, which then helps us connect better with other people. Mm-hmm. And at the same time, I'm thinking, gosh, it's so hard for me to feel comfortable or okay when I've made a mistake. And again, maybe that's something from my past, but I feel like there's so much power here, but yet I want to get into that. How can we get comfortable if we were raised in a way, probably unconsciously, to be the perfectionist, to not, we don't feel comfortable making mistakes or admitting that we did something wrong, or maybe not the best way. You know, I can totally see having that ability will help you connect better with others. And we don't have to do it right now whenever it comes up, but helping people, especially with the quote unquote, I won't say negative, but you know,
more challenging.
Challenging, love it. Challenging emotions, which, you know, you may find yourself resisting or not even acknowledging that you're just mindlessly going through life, not realizing that you are.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're jumping right into the meat of it. Like, how do we do the hard ones?
I love it. I love it. No, because here's the thing to know. Every emotion lasts 90 seconds. That's it. You ever heard someone say the wave, right? This wave of emotion? It's because it comes up, it rises up in us. And if we allow it, it comes out. And then it goes back down, right? So if you can remember that every emotion, if we allow it, only lasts 90 seconds and then it's done. Like for instance, a couple of Saturday nights ago, I was invited to a wine tasting and I very rarely drink, right? But I do enjoy wine. I'm from California. It's always in our backyard. So it's something I really love. And the next day I had an all-day psychology seminar. And I remember at the beginning of it, I woke up in that morning, it was a little rough, you know, we tasted quite a few different varieties and yes. And so I was a little crunchy and I felt shame and I could kind of feel this emotion like all morning when I was getting ready. And I didn't really think too much about it because I was like, I got to get up. I got to get moving. I got to have my coffee. I have to be alert. I have to be online at 9 a.m. So I kind of didn't deal with it, right? And so at the beginning of the session, it was so great. The gentleman who opened it up said, I just want everyone just to take a moment, close your eyes, just lean in and notice. Notice what's going on in your body. And I was like, oh my gosh, that thing that was nagging at me, it's shame. I feel shame because I said to myself, I don't want to drink. I want to be nice and clean and da 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 da. But I went ahead and partook in this tasting and I felt shame for it. And it was amazing. I admitted it. I just allowed it to come up and I just felt it. And then before you know it, it was gone. Mm. And by the time we got done with that very short meditation, I was like, oh, I feel better.
Mm, that's
and great. That was it. And it was just gone.
That's perfect. So I guess that was part of my question. That's what I was feeling like. So when you have that emotion that you didn't really want to experience, you're trying to kind of stuff down. What I heard you say is you didn't try in that moment to go back and analyze it. Where did this come from? Why am I feeling this? Why kind of going cerebrally? So is that a key part of just allowing yourself to feel it and move on and not worry about psychoanalyzing yourself and
figuring it all out? Such a great question. And the answer is absolutely, like, right on. That's exactly it. That's where we get stuck. We get stuck when our brains are trying to figure out why did it occur? What did it occur? And we get caught in that instead of just allowing it. You know, the bottom line is our feelings are there for a reason. They want to be seen and heard. And when we're not seen and heard is when we get stuck. And we'll talk about that as well. But yes, so that's the thing. So we get stuck because our brains are on this hamster wheel and we're trying to figure it out and figure it out. If you just allow it to come out and you don't, you know, you don't attach meaning to it, you don't try to attach a story to it, you just go, okay, I feel shame. I'm feeling shame right now. I'm just going to sit with it. I feel shame. That's all it wants. Our emotions just want to be seen and heard. And so when you do that, you allow it to come up and out, and then it's done. So yes, that's so perceptive. It is really important to not judge ourselves, to not try to figure it out. There's a place and time for us to do that, but it's not in that moment. Mm. And that moment is important just to allow and acknowledge whatever that emotion is inside of you.
So I'd love to dive into what happens if someone is disconnected from their emotions. So I'm thinking of listeners who are hearing us talk and they're still kind of on the fence of like, well, how do I know if I'm disconnected? Am I really feeling my emotions? So how would this show up in their life? Can you let us know how that would be?
Right. Okay. So triggers are a key indicator, right? And this is a little bit of what I struggle with of how triggers are currently understood in our culture. It's often used like someone's triggering me. And when they're saying it like that, you're blaming the other person, right? It's someone else's fault that I feel this way. Why did you say or do that? And that's always an indicator when we're blaming other people for our feelings. Yes, there are times where it's legitimate. It's legitimate that like someone really crossed a boundary and that's okay. But a lot of times when something happens, you can ask yourself, in a neutral situation, is this something that is justifiable to be upset about, right? And a lot of times, if you can do that, you can be like, no, it's actually not. Like, for instance, right? So my husband, not that long ago, well, I won't go into all the detail, but I was telling him something that was really important to me. And he just sort of zoned out in that moment. He has ADHD. He's shared that. So that's not something I haven't, you know. And sometimes when people who have ADHD, they zone out of conversations, right? If I was in touch with my emotions, I would just say, oh, okay. Hey, honey, you zoomed out. You want to join me back here? You know, and we can kind of joke about it, but I didn't. That day I got really upset. Why did you not listen? You weren't paying attention. I was telling you something, blah, blah, blah. And that moment, you know, you can look at it and go, okay, what's a neutral response? Like, did he mean to do that? Did he like, no, of course he didn't. He has ADHD. Like that happened. Oh, so why am I getting so upset about it? That's the indicator that there's something inside of you.
Mm.
Right?
Yeah.
Does that make sense? I know that's a little bit of a rounded way, but like, It's really that simple. And so for me, I had to look at, oh, that was this old trigger I have about not feeling seen and heard as a child, which I've done so much work on. But, you know, we're never, ever fully healed. We can get through a lot of things, but it's being able to come back and say, oh, this emotion's showing up again. I need to sit with this and see what this is about, mm-hmm. allow it to come through, and then you figure it out from there.
Yeah. And I think that even may be hard for people to feel, right? Because yeah. I feel like in our society, we really have this external locus of control. You did this, you did this. Do you feel like it took you a good amount of work to get to that place where you could identify that, oh, that was neutral. I'm having this over-exaggerated response when I really could have handled this a different way. Maybe it's within me.
Yeah. Yes. It takes a lot of work, but that's where if you start at step one and you just say, what am I feeling?
Yeah.
Right. And you can take a moment, you can step away. Like that's really how you can start to begin the muscle. You recognize that there's something going on in your body and that usually will come from, remember how I said a few minutes ago that like, I was feeling something. That was me noticing that my body, that there was something going on. I didn't address it in that moment, but I was very aware that there was something going on. So that's really like the very first step is just being able to notice there's something going on. And most of the time, 80% of the time, that comes from the body. 80% of all of our thoughts, our feelings, all that comes from the body, not the brain. And a lot of times we think the brain is really the one that's driving the ship, but it's not. It's really the body wow. that's doing
yeah, that. Yeah, that's so interesting.
But, you know, again, it's so difficult to do that. It's really difficult to do that. And so what ends up happening a lot of times is that we get stuck because we aren't addressing those emotions. Mm. We get stuck. We can't move forward. We feel muddy. You know, it's that feeling like when you feel it, I just feel muddy. Like I can't seem to feel better or get past it or move on. That's, you know, we're getting stuck. Mm-hmm. And that's a tricky one because what can happen is, and this is what I see quite a lot, is that over time, if we don't feel those feelings, they don't go away. Mm-hmm. They just go down. Mm-hmm. And so what ends up happening is we feel anxiety. We feel depression, you know, then all of a sudden, we just don't have the problem of whatever that feeling is that we're not addressing, whatever it's related to. But then on top of it, we have a general sense of anxiety, right? Anxiety, so depression is when we push our emotions down, right? When we say, don't exist, I'm depressing you, right? I'm pressing you down, I'm depressing. Anxiety is when our brains are trying to figure it out and we're right. instead of allowing ourselves to feel it, our brains are like, what's going on? I'm trying to figure this out. I don't know how to get it. What did I do? What do I do? Right? Yeah. That's when we get caught on that hamster wheel. That's what creates the anxiety, right? And that's why I loved your question about like that we just don't attach any meaning to it. We just allow it, you know, to come through. So what happens then is you get anxiety, depression. You can get irritable. You know, others, you feel a wall or you put up a wall with others, right? You can't get past it. You sleep less. It impacts our health. You know, I can speak about this, that my mom had a very, very difficult childhood. Really, really difficult. And very much of her generation, they didn't deal with those feelings. And so my mom at 66 got Parkinson's that later became dementia, known as Lewy body dementia. And I am for certain that it was all of that unprocessed trauma, right? Because emotions are just energy. That's all they are.
Yeah.
It's just energy. When that kind of like heavy energy is stored in our body, you know, I mean, science has shown that emotions actually can have a physical, you know, energy can have a physical impact on our bodies. Mm-hmm. And so I know in my heart of hearts that the reason my mom got sick at 66 was because she had so much unprocessed trauma that then turned into disease. Mm. You know, they're finding a lot of autoimmune issues have an emotional core to them. So it's really important that we do address it. Yeah.
I agree with that. I just want to reiterate that I see that clinically as well. And I actually know a local practitioner here who helps clear emotions from organs. And it's amazing. Yeah. And she'll work with the spleen is holding on to whatever emotion, and you go and see her, and that's part of her treatment plan. It's really amazing. And yes, so even if you feel like you're fine, I feel fine, and say you are happy with the level of the relationships in your life, I think it's still worthwhile to do this work because of the health implications. And I see that just as a medical provider that, you know, even if you feel like, okay, I'm fine, everyone's fine, maybe things aren't perfect, but I don't want to deal with this, well, your future self will thank you for not holding on to those emotions, for processing these things, for tapping into this and doing this work. And truly, all of our collective consciousness, I believe all of us will benefit from it. But
absolutely,
even if you can make excuses on the relational piece, thinking of your healthcare and thinking of a long life, I really truly believe that to be true, that your emotions can have a physical impact on your body.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. I mean, intuitively, it makes sense. And you hear people speak about it. But think about your nervous system, right? Like, that's a perfect example. So if we are living with anxiety, because we're trying to figure out what's going on, we're not dealing with it, what happens when we have anxiety? Our nervous system is upregulated. If we're in that state long enough, guess what? That becomes the new normal of where our nervous systems operate. That's why people have chronic anxiety, right? So what happens is, if you're living in that state of a constant upregulated nervous system, our adrenals get shot, we're exhausted all the time. I mean, you can even think about it just in those very basic terms. That's what happens when we're living in that, you know, that state of anxiety. Then that becomes the new normal.
And I'll add into it pelvic floor muscle tightness, just generalized muscle tension, constipation, painful sex. There's so many things that your body can be giving you these signals. And that may be the key to look and say, oh, I have constipation. I have anxiety. I kind of feel this racing heart. I don't feel relaxed and good in my body. Well, maybe there's something your body is trying to tell you. And I tell patients all the time that, you know, we can listen to our body when it's whispering to us. And if we don't, it'll talk to us. And if we don't listen, then it'll scream. We don't want our body to be shouting if we can help it.
Beautiful. Ah, I love that. And that is so deeply true. You know, it's what we were saying earlier. Our bodies, and I love you use this word, our bodies hold all the wisdom. Everything that we need to know is already inside of us. It says that we move so fast, or we do it as protection, whatever that is, but we don't listen and we're always being told. So the very first thing you can do is just scan your body. Just scan it. See if there's anything that feels stuck or crunchy. It's a really easy way to do. But for most of us, we don't do that. You know, we shut it down. We pretend that our feelings don't exist, and we may not even be aware that they're present. Right? Because we aren't, you know, we do move fast, or we aren't used to actually feeling our bodies. But, you know, I think a lot of it goes back to our childhoods, which is what we touched on earlier. If our parents don't know, they can't teach us, they can't handle our emotions. And I think that our culture is getting better. But a lot of times what we are taught is toughen up, don't be a crybaby. Right? And that comes not just from parents or authority figures, but that comes from our peers, right? If our friends' parents are teaching them that, guess what our friends are telling us? Mm-hmm. Exactly what they're taught. So that there's a lot of things, right? So as little kids, like if we go back to the adult chair model, as children, we're taught a belief that it's not okay to feel our feelings, right?
Yeah.
Stuff them down, pretend like they don't exist, don't acknowledge them. That's what we're taught. So that's the belief that we create in our child chair, right? So then what happens is when we get into the adolescent, the ego takes over, right? We talked about how the egos really come online at about age 7. So then our egos take over, and our egos tell us, nope, you're not going to feel that feeling. That feels really bad. I'm here to protect you and keep you safe and alive. So our egos then create a mask, right? That's where the people pleasing comes in, when you asked earlier, yeah. Right? So that's a great example, or perfectionism. Mm-hmm. If we're taught from our parents, your feelings don't matter, you need to put your feelings down. What you need to do is do what I want you to do. Mm-hmm. And that's how you're going to be given love. And that's how we interpret that we're going to stay safe and alive.
Or you can see that, oh, I shared this with mom or dad and they freaked out. They kind of reacted in a way I didn't anticipate. And so I'm not going to share that with them. I can't have those emotions. So they may not even consciously say, your feelings don't matter. Do this the way I want to do it. You can just see how they react and you're like, oh, okay, we can't say that. We can't share that because that was not good, right? And how, like I think you said in the last or first episode, of then you learn how to manage and then you're learning to take care of your parents emotionally, and that is not good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that's exactly right. You know, and as we know, we receive cues. Like I said, our nervous systems are designed to scan. They're constantly, not only are they looking to sync up with another person's nervous system, but our nervous systems subconsciously are always scanning. They're always scanning to make sure we're safe and alive. So therefore, they're picking up every single cue. So it doesn't have to be a direct message. It could be an indirect message. It could be they don't answer you. It could be, you know, there's a number of different ways that our parents communicate with us, right? And so, right. So if you learn that it's not okay to feel your feelings because it doesn't meet what they need, then you learn, oh, my ego says, I'm going to be a people pleaser because if I please them, then I'm going to get the love that I need, mm-hmm. right? So that's what then happens as, you know, in our adolescent phase, right? The other thing that I often have, I hear with clients is the fear that they're never going to be able to get out of it, that they're going to be stuck, that they'll feel this way forever.
Yes.
And that's also a message that comes from the ego, right? The ego, you know, again, the ego is here. We need our egos. Egos often get a bad rap. I get it. Sometimes they deserve it, right? But our egos also serve a really important function, which is protection, right? And so one of the other things that our ego does is it says, oh, you don't want to feel that. You're going to feel that forever. You may get stuck. You may never get out of it. And I promise, 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 you don't get stuck. That's actually the key. When we go in and we feel our emotions, that is the key to healing. We have to go, you know, if there was a pill that we could take where it just took us to the other side of all this, awesome. Let me know. Mm-hmm. But that's not how it works. We have to go through to get to the other side.
And it's so interesting. You said it's reassuring to hear you say an emotion only lasts 90 seconds because you so hit the nail on the head. Your ego tells us in the back, you're like, oh my gosh, I'm going to feel this way forever. I need to go, you know, listen to something, watch something, do something, buffer, make myself feel better, get away from the emotion and get away from the uncomfortable, leave, like you said, shut out the person, whatever your mechanism is to make yourself not feel that emotion. It feels like that's what you have to do. It feels like that you're going to feel that forever. And this is the way to make yourself feel better. And it's so, you said kind of the way out is through, you know, like you have to feel it to let it go. Otherwise you kind of do get stuck in that emotion or feeling.
Yeah. I was just going to say in 90 seconds can feel like an eternity. I have people hold stretches for like 30 seconds and that feels like, oh my God, this is so long. But so 90 seconds is, you can definitely freak out in 90 seconds and have your brain tell you, no, 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 stop, stop. But I do like that. Just thinking, okay, I can breathe through this. I can make it through this. It's only 90 seconds. In the grand scheme of things, that is minutia.
Yeah, absolutely. My mom passed last year and I remember being there in between when she passed and the funeral and being in the shower and having just this enormous wave of grief. And I can't go anywhere. I can't run away. I'm naked and I'm in the shower. Like there's a reality, right? Yeah. And I'm really wet. Yeah. And I remember just saying to myself, it's 90 seconds. It's 90 seconds. It's 90 seconds. It's 90 seconds. And just breathing and just like saying, it's 90 seconds. It's 90 seconds. And that wave subsided. Wow. So sometimes you just have to say to yourself, it's just 90 seconds, just allow. But we don't. So that's what happens in our adolescent. You know, we put the masks on, the people pleasing or what have you. As it becomes an adult, it gets really challenging, right? So we not only do we have our ego that's still there, still doing its job, but then we live in a society that's gotten really good at avoiding, right? We have so many different ways to not feel. You say something to someone and they say, oh, look on the bright side. There's ba, 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 ba. And you're like, yeah, but I still feel that, right? Mm-hmm. And people mean, they mean well. We just have grown up, you know, you think about a couple generations ago that were before the baby boomers, it was the silent generation, right?
Yeah.
That's what we need to know. And then they raised the baby boomers and it's just coming down through generations. So it's still very much part of the fabric of our society that we try to make people feel better by stopping them from feeling it.
Yes.
Oh, you know, again, look at the bright side. You know, there's also other ways that we do it through numbing, right? Mm-hmm. Numbing is huge. We binge watch TV, which is totally okay, right? Yeah, I binge watch. Great. We shop, right? We've got all this credit so that we can just spend, spend, spend. We eat. There's a million different ways that we can eat, right? So pay attention if you start to see like, you know, like a habit, right? Where you find yourself constantly going for the chocolate. Ask yourself, why am I going for this chocolate, right? Wow, I just spent 4 hours watching TV, if you've got that time, right? Yeah. Wow, what am I doing? So it's about having a consciousness because there are so many ways that we numb. And then you said the other one, which is that a lot of times our lives are structured as being fast and full, right?
Yes.
And whether that is just a product of being in this modern day or because we subconsciously create that. I had a client mm-hmm. just the other day where it was like, she went somewhere, she went to take a 4-day trip by herself out into Joshua Tree, and she realized that a lot of things came up for her. And we had that discussion about, oh, they were always there. You just were so busy. Mm-hmm. And she saw that, right? It's very common.
I literally just had that conversation with the patient very recently in the past. And I have this conversation so often that people have a resistance to doing yoga and they say, oh, I can't sit still for that long. I can't do meditation. And this one recent patient really was saying, oh, wow, I totally figured that out about myself, that I stay busy as a way to distract myself. And it showed up for her where she couldn't get pregnant. And it was just, she was staying in this high cortisol sympathetic nervous system state. And she had to change her ways. She had to learn how to slow down and then got pregnant. And she really made that connection of like, hey, this was a faulty way of me handling this, you know, situation or this unrest with my mind. And it was having this block to me starting my family. So,
Wow.
Yeah. Wow. Wow. That's incredible. And again, I love hearing stories like that because it's women that are starting to tune into their intuitions. And the way that we tune in to our intuition is through our bodies. It's through noticing what's going on inside of us. So if we don't get into the habit of tuning into our bodies and paying attention to what our bodies are telling us, not only does it create all of the things we've discussed today, but that it blocks us from one of our most powerful tools, especially as women, we're so deeply connected to our intuition. And if we don't go into the body, that's where our intuition lives. So we miss that very fundamental tool that protects us, that shows us where we need to go in life, that helps us make decisions. It all comes from our intuition. So I love that your client was actually listening to her intuition and tuning in because that's exactly it, right?
That's so great. So what are some ways, and you've kind of touched on them, but let's maybe review again, some ways that people can get in touch with their emotions and how to really start to reconnect to make sure that they're able to like tap into that.
Yeah. So the first thing is, it's all about getting curious. Just get curious. Start to notice if you feel something or there's something kind of nagging at you, stop and just notice it, right? And if that's not possible, what you want to do is take 5 minutes. You could do it in 2 minutes. Find 2 minutes in your day. And I loved what you were saying about your client who was getting really busy, because there's sort of a funny little saying. It's like, if someone says they don't have time, then they should be actually meditating double the amount of time, right? It's kind of the thing. So the invitation is to take 2 minutes. Just scan your body. Right? Just scan it. Just notice if your chest is feeling tight. Maybe your heart rate is kind of up. Notice if you've got some tension behind your eyes. Notice if maybe your tummy is churning. Just start to pay attention to your body. Just scan it. That's the first thing to do, right? You know, stress lives in so many different ways. And so some of the ones I named are some of the bigger ones. But notice if you're irritable. What am I so irritable about? Like, right? You can do that if you're not taking 30 seconds and scanning your body. But the important thing is just start to get conscious. Start to become aware. That is really one of your best tools to doing this. Just start to create awareness. And that, you know, that's why, you know, when I work with my clients, the first thing that I always like suggest even before our first session is download Insight Timer. It's a beautiful app. It's free. There's a million different kinds of meditations for anything you can imagine. Even if you just like sit in silence for 2 minutes and just focus on your breath, right? It's giving you space to slow down and start to notice what's going on with yourself, right? The second way is journaling. I always say, go pick up a new journal, get something brand new with clean, fresh energy that when you look at makes yourself feel good. Because that's another way where you start to get to know yourself. Even if you just take that journal and you just write, how am I feeling today? Close your eyes, take 30 seconds, just scan, just feel, right? Those are two things that I always begin with, right? Giving ourselves a framework to start to create deeper awareness. So that idea is just getting aware. And then once you notice something, right? Like that day that I had the shame, right? I was feeling bad about myself, right? But it was really coming across in shame, right? So when you notice it, just sit quiet. Just sit with it. What is that? Oh, it's shame. Okay. And this is where it can get hard, right? Because this is where you feel really uncomfortable, right? Mm-hmm. This is where it doesn't feel so good. Just take a deep breath. And it's always great. There's a breath that's called the 4-7-8. Breathe in for four, a count of four. Hold for the count of seven. Let go to the count of eight. And when we have a much longer exhale, that's actually a signal that we're giving our body that we're safe. So that's why I always say, start out, take a deep breath. The 4-7-8 is great. But just do whatever feels most comfortable to you. Take a deep breath and just allow yourself to feel it. Decide, I'm just going to feel it. I'm just going to allow it. Like I said, I just feel shame. Just feel shame. Yeah. I just feel shame. You know, it's uncomfortable, but it just, I feel that way. And just allow it and let it go, you know, and that's it. It's really just that simple. That's really great. Just that simple.
That seems so doable and so profound, so simple yet so powerful, right? And I can see myself in my kitchen, because that's usually where some of my quote unquote uncomfortable feelings arise when, you know, it's that bewitching hour of the day and the kids are running amok and everyone is just like really tired and kind of hungry. And so I can see 90 seconds may seem like a long time, but I think everyone will benefit even if that's all I do is just wait the 90 seconds. And even if I can't maybe name it, but just, okay, I'm just going to let this feeling pass. I'm just going to let myself feel this and move it through. We actually have a pillow that has a wheel of emotions. Have you seen that wheel of emotions where at the center, it's like the fear, the sadness, the anger, love, some of the big ones, and then it spans out and it gives all these words. I think the person who gave it to me, shout out to my PT Ariel, she found it on Etsy. So I don't know, I don't have the link for that, but that's amazing because I think sometimes even if you just figure out that central sensation, if it's fear, if it's anger, and then maybe we can learn to nuance with even more vocabulary and more words. But
yeah, because our emotions are pretty central. They're pretty basic. The feelings are that. See, that's where the wheel starts to go out because those then become the feelings. You have
So the inner core are the emotions?
That's right.
Ah, gotcha. See, good, I'm learning.
So you are. Yeah. Basic, central, right? The really easy, the stuff that like a four-year-old could say, I'm sad, right? They don't know what overwhelm means, right? They just know sad. Sad is the emotion. Overwhelm is the feeling. And so, yeah.
Oh, I was going to say, I really liked the other aspect of that too. With journaling, I always think that journaling has to be this big, profound thing and you have to write something, you know, supremely meaningful. But it's nice you just said, get curious. And then just a simple question like, how am I feeling today? Just write that. Like, it doesn't have to be, you know, writing a dissertation on the inner workings of your brain. That's freeing to make it that simple.
Oh, gosh. Yeah. So super simple. You know, I mean, the beauty with journaling is that in the beginning, we might need a prompt. Most of us need prompts, right? And that's great. But what usually happens is that something, our brain almost starts to like turn off and something just automatic starts to happen where it's like we open up this door consciously and then all of these things start rushing out that we didn't even know. This happens to me all the time. I am a major journaler. It is such a powerful, easy, inexpensive, right? You can just get a pad of legal. I mean, it's nothing. And man, it can move so much inside of us because what happens is our brain almost turns off and then things just start rushing through us that we didn't even know were there. And we also have the ability to almost connect into like our higher self, this deeper wisdom. And we just need to give it the space to be for that wisdom to come out. But that's where like once we like, I go back to your really astute point about how we allow that emotion just to come up and move out of us is when we don't try to attach meaning to it. We don't blame ourselves. We're not blaming others. We just allow the emotion to come up. Because once that emotion comes up, it actually gives us the ability to reveal all of these other feelings that are underneath it. That's why like that wheel starts with the core emotions at the center and then starts to blossom out like a 1,000-petal lotus. Right?
Yeah.
Once we acknowledge that there's this feeling of like shame, right? Like I'll go back to the example of the shame. Then it was like, okay, what's the truth underneath that? Wow, I let myself down, right? I didn't keep this promise that I wanted to make to myself. And you know what? It was okay. Like once I understood, okay, you know what? It was okay that I didn't do that. But I at least know now what the shame was really about. So, you know, when we get to express and let our feelings out, it's like there's this truth underneath it. And it's like removing layers of ourselves that exposes this beautiful diamond. And that diamond is the feeling. What's really happening underneath that core emotion, right? I'm angry. What is that anger really about, right? My needs aren't getting met. Oh, that's what this is. And that's where that journaling actually comes in. So once you've released the emotion, once you've let it out, I always invite clients to grab the journal. Just go write. What is the anger about? I'm angry because why?
That's great.
What is my belief around the anger? Angry because no one's listening to me or whatever, you know, whatever that is. There's so much emotion that is kind of on top that it blocks all that beautiful wisdom underneath. Yeah. You know, another thought is if we don't want to journal, because I do have some clients that they just can't do it. And I get it. I actually was very resistant to journaling for a really long time. And then one day I picked it up and it was like a switch went off, right? So there are some people where it's just not their thing. The other thing you can do is just to be witnessed. Just ask someone, right? Hey, I would love to get some things out. Tell them what you need. I don't need you to answer. I don't need you to fix it. I don't need you to make me better. I just need you to hold the space for me to allow myself to speak about it. And just like journaling, what ends up happening is I talk about the anger. And before I know it, I've talked about the anger because my sister did this thing and it's making me feel like that. That experience kind of made me feel like when I was 12 and my sister did this. Like before you know it, again, it's just that stream of consciousness, whether it's quietly writing or whether it's through talking to someone.
You know, it's so funny. There are times where I will call Amanda and say, okay, I just have to say this out loud. Can I just talk to you for a second? And like, this happened today and I just need to say something. I need to tell somebody. She's like, oh yeah, that's totally fine. And then she'll, of course, make me, oh no, definitely have nothing to worry about. That's okay. And it's so funny. But even like you said, just getting it out there, just releasing it, just saying it out loud. Half the time, by the time I've even said it out loud, I realize there's really nothing behind this. It's like, it lets it go. It, you know, lets it out. But that's so funny you say that too.
Yeah.
Is some of the magic in the holding the space? Because I'm thinking of the voice memo on your phone. Can you just leave, like, just talking to your phone and record it on a voice memo? I guess you could just talk to yourself in the car. But, you know, I mean, is there something with having someone witness it and give you that validation of like, I hear you. That's hard.
Sure. It can be, but not so much. I think it's about having an intentional action, right? Yes, you could talk to yourself in your car, but if you pick up your phone and you hit record, there is a consciousness to what you're doing, right? So somewhere, whether you're aware of it or not, you've made an agreement that I'm going to have this device and I'm going to speak to it and get this stuff out, right? So it's about the intention. Right? When you're just kind of talking to yourself and you're in the car, it's usually just, you know, you're not in a stream of consciousness. You're just kind of just getting stuff out, right? Yeah. So there's not really an intention behind it. But if you're journaling or you're talking to someone or you're pressing that like button on your phone, you are creating a conscious choice about how you want to handle your feelings.
That's great. Yeah, right. That makes sense.
Yeah.
This has been amazing. I have just loved talking with you and learning from you, and it's just been amazing. So is there any other final thoughts that things we haven't covered, or yeah, how can people find out about you and work with you? And
sure. Yeah. I think we've really much covered it. And you know, everything doesn't have to occur overnight. It's just the baby steps, right? It's just taking one step because it's truly a muscle that we build. And, you know, as I hopefully, you know, you've heard today, it doesn't matter how long you've been doing it. It doesn't matter if this is what I coach my clients to do. We're all still human. There's no there there, right? I would love for there to be a there there, but there's no there there. Every day we breathe is a day where we're still learning and growing and healing. So my advice is just be gentle with yourself. Know that it takes time. Know that muscles don't happen overnight, but just begin. Just start to notice. And yes, I actually am not a social media person. I have found, you know, speaking of awareness, that every time I'm on social media, I never leave feeling good. There's always an energy that doesn't feel good inside of me. So it's not a medium I participate in, but you can go to my website, which is coachingwithtracybrown.com. Coaching with Tracy Brown. Yes. So thank you for having me. I've loved being part of our discussion today, and I'm really grateful for the time you're taking. Yeah.
Well, thank you so much, Tracy. Yeah, it's been fabulous to have you. And we'll make sure to link to all of, you know, to your website and everything in the show notes. You can find Tracy there as well. And yeah, you are just such a gem. It's been so great talking with you.
Oh, thank you. You guys too.
Thank you so much. Yeah. Take care.
This content is for educational purposes only and is not intended to be medical advice. Please discuss any questions you may have regarding your health or medical condition with your physician or a qualified healthcare professional. Opinions of guests are their own, and this podcast does not endorse or accept responsibility for statements made by guests.